Well, as Pastor Black said, I've known the Lord a little more than just a few years, but it is refreshing. It's like pure oxygen just to hear your stories. Just because you, I don't say you forget, but just like seeing a newborn baby, just the tenderness that is there, and yet there will be stumbling, there will be trials. It's not just peace from here on out completely in the world sense, but it's, we have serve a living God. And I thank you for just the vulnerability and just seeing the Lord move here. If I were to give my story a title, it'd be something along the questions of what does it take? I was born in New Jersey. I never had time to pick up the language, but I found myself growing up for the first 10 years of my life in Toledo, Ohio. And being the middle kid, I had the older sister who was the outgoing, strong-headed one. And then I had my brother who was the gimme, gimme, gimme youngest child. And I was just the quiet middle kid. And I just wanted to do the right thing. What does it take just to be a good kid? Grew up in a Catholic church. And I remember very clearly in Toledo, Ohio, a very large front cathedral area with this massive crucifix. And just remembering the image that Christ died and he was nailed to the cross. And you need to always remember that there was suffering and he suffered for you and suffered for you. And this image of God, almost like the Zeus with the lightning bolt, just waiting for me to step out of line with a gotcha was there. I wanted to honor the Lord. I wanted to be a good kid. And yet that in some ways was my challenge. My father, I knew he loved me, but he often traveled and he was also growing up in a time where for him, love was paying the bills. Love was taking care of the family. But I don't ever remember a day where he sat at my bedside and said, "Son, tell me about what's on your heart. Son, how can I help you? Son, let me open up a word of God and share it with you." It just wasn't there. You work hard, you play hard, you grow up, that is the right way. As a Catholic young man, growing up as a boy, you have something called First Communion, and you wear these outfits, and you're supposed to imitate a saint. And I like science, so apparently my parents thought it would be appropriate to help me dress up as Saint Francis, the lover of animals. And they tied one of those fake pigeons you put up in a tree or a dove for Christmas, and they looped it around my finger. So I'm walking down in front of everybody with this bird on my finger. And that would help make it whatever it takes, right, to be the good kid. My first confession, you kneel face to face through this little screen, and you're supposed to say, "You know, Father, forgive me, I have sinned," and you list all your sins. But they didn't tell me that you're supposed to kneel, so I got in there. I just sat down on my rear, you know, with my back to the screen, and I no voice, so I was quiet. So I thought he was just waiting for me. So I just started talking, "Father, forgive me, I have sinned," and just went through the list, and it was just still quiet. So I started making things up. I just couldn't think what was wrong. And then a shaft of light burst through over my head, and this warm voice said, "Is this your first confession?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "Are you short?" I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Where are you?" I'm sitting here. He said, no, kneel up. And so whatever it takes, I kneeled up and I confessed my sins and we were there for the first time. And it was this desire to do the right thing, but constantly feeling like I wasn't always getting it right. I moved to Wheaton and I learned to run very quickly because it was like Forrest Gump, the bullies were after me and I got really good. That made me very good in track. Whatever it took, I tried and tried and would just try and push and push, but always wanting to be accepted. And that was the challenge because my father was distant. My mom was not in the same vein trying to tell. I didn't have people showing me who the living God was. And so if you think about that, you love God, but he seems so far away. Is this all it is? It was just discouraging. Sometime middle school into high school, I started getting involved with evangelical youth ministries. And people were alive for Christ. They liked talking about the Lord and Jesus being alive, not on a cross. Suddenly became real that it's not about him suffering, it's about him resurrecting. It's the living Christ and what comes after that. And that was hard to understand at first. And so I attended, but they would refer to me as the Catholic Christian. And I didn't know what that meant, but I would try to do a good job at it, whatever it took. And then I was 16 years old, and Karen, who I remember very well, a young lady my age, she said, "Bob, have you ever committed your life to Christ? Are you a Christian?" And in the Baptist church, that means, can you name the date and the time, and did you make a full confession? And it would right then, they're signing the dotted line, and you're in the club. But that was really frustrating because I'd already been growing up in the church, and what do you mean? If I'm not a Christian, what do you think I've been all these years? And so I got home on that night, and on my carpet, I drew a line across in my carpet with my finger, and I said, Lord, this is stupid. I shouldn't have to do this, but if there's a time I have to step over and say, this is the day, I'll do it. And I did it, and nothing really changed. But at least I had in my mind a time where I'm like, I want to serve the Lord, whatever it takes. Well, I went off to college, Big Ten University. I realized very quickly that fraternities and all that world is not exactly conducive for the Christian faith. And I had to make a decision when I'm being asked to join. And so I didn't. And felt very off-kilt. But I was going to a Catholic church, but got involved with the groups called Fellowship of Christian Athletes and Campus Crusade for Christ and InterVarsity. And I saw people who had made the decision that I'm now away from the God of my parents and I need to make a decision right now. How am I going to live in this campus that offers everything in the world that you can offer without your parents knowing? And by God's grace, that was the direction I chose. I tried to be the Catholic for a while, going to Catholic church, but the priests were offering masses for homosexuals, and the priest was offering spiritual full-body massages and things that just didn't line up, that I couldn't comprehend. And though I tried to talk with the priest, and though I was leading a youth ministry within the church, he basically talked to me that there was no such thing as sin. I can't tell them what to do and what not to do for boys and girls or young men and women in my church. And I literally stopped at that point and realized, what have I been trying to do? I am trying to fit my world into a religion, and in my case, the Catholic faith. And I'm not going to condemn Catholics, but I can say from my experience, then the theology and the works and the things was destroying me because I wasn't accepting the fact that Christ is not Catholic. Christ is Christ. So I came home and I told my parents in fear and trepidation, sophomore, junior year, I'm not Catholic anymore. And I couldn't believe it. My dad said, son, you've been living your faith more than we have. You read the Word of God more than we do. And we understand. Well, and so from that, I suddenly felt a 500-pound brick had been lifted because I realized all I ever want is to earn my father's favor because of that distance and wanting to close that gap. So somehow things would be better if I just do what my father wants. And that would take a long time just to continue to recognize that. But so life before Christ was just one of just wanting to please some God, be a good kid, be a big person, a good person. When I realized that life in Christ is freedom. Life in Christ is not trying to fit a mold, but it's walking before our Heavenly Father, then praise the Lord. So coming back from college, I had to make some decisions, and I had been involved with a wonderful evangelical church after I gave up Catholicism my junior, senior year, and that set me on the trail for really just solid preaching in the Word of God. Yet I was still young. I didn't have a role model. I didn't have a mentor showing me this is the way, walk in it. I was on my own. Well, I met a beautiful young lady when I was trying to give up dating after some experiences. I said, I'm done with dating. And then, boom, suddenly the Lord introduces a young lady named Kelly into my life. And she was a young believer as well. But I thought I had it all together by then. And through that, we got married. And I immediately plugged into heavy youth ministry because I was doing that. And I thought, well, this is the way that I can continue to grow and show that. But while I'm talking to 50, 75 plus young people, I wasn't taking care of the wife of my youth. I was not washing her in the Word. I wasn't washing myself in the Word that I should have. I'm worried about how other people wouldn't, serving a church ministry because they needed someone to fill the goal or the ministry, but not really taking care of my family. This would set a pattern for years of dysfunction. It's kind of like chasing the wind. You're trying to pursue something, but suddenly you have children, and suddenly things get busier, and then you try to fix something, but then there's a problem here, and then you work, and I'm coaching football, and I'm a high school teacher. I'm in an environment that is toxic. I'm pursuing my master's degree, and suddenly I'm having my first daughter, and things just got a little bit busier, but I'm trying to live for the Lord, and I could almost say that I felt spiritually like the parking brake kept going on a little tighter, even though I kept trying to drive a little faster. If you can sense that tension, and that creates smoke as you go. As we went on and things got busier, we had more children. And yet I wasn't slowing down and saying, Lord, what would you have of me? I'll kind of sum it up as this. Trials happen more when you say, certainly more can't happen. It's just not possible. And at a time when we were ready to move, I had been diagnosed in 2008, end of the year, with testicular cancer. And that was kind of a shock. And then my wife, who was pregnant with our, I'm sorry for the details, third child, fourth child at the time. And so we said, well, we got to move. And so we chose to move to a house, and I got ahead of the Lord. And we ended up becoming a really bad financial situation, and had a bad contractor, and things went really bad for years to come. And I said, surely things can't get worse. And things did continue to have trials in many ways. What we should have done is just slow down, get off the gerbil wheel at times, and say, Lord, what is it that you want? I know that I don't want to go this direction, but maybe that's what it takes. And so after church situations and other challenges, we found ourselves here at Living Hope. And it has been a blessing to my family because of the sincerity of love, the sincerity of acceptance, and the sincerity of the fact that we are broken, that we are all sinners, but we serve a mighty God. And that you come as you are, but we're not going to let you be there because the Lord calls us to more than that. And by our own weaknesses, we will grow together. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for the leadership. I'm thankful for the elders. I'm thankful for the families that just accept us as we are. I know that if I were to say, where am I in the chapters of life? I feel like I'm getting closer and closer to the beginning of where I should be towards the end. And the verse that I would wrap up about my confession comes from Jeremiah. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, or boast. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in all of the earth, for in these I delight. It's not about us. It's not about what I can do. It's just to glory in the Lord. I don't want to be at the driver's seat. I don't want to be in the passenger seat. I want to be saying, you know, show me the way, O Lord. So that stated, I know Kelly will share her areas as well. But I'm thankful that we can be broken. I'm thankful that we can recognize that as we serve one another, the Lord is exalted. So we're very honored, and we're just thankful to be a part of this church. So thank you so much. Thank you, buddy.